Amen.
Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lukilani, your host, and today my husband Alex is preaching about intrusive thoughts. The brown recluse spider is called by that name because it is reclusive, which is the opposite of intrusive, which means to be busy. This spider keeps to itself, living a quiet and simple life. And though it is poisonous, it is only dangerous when it needs to be defensive. A Christian's thought life must be like that spider, quiet, strong, simple, and dangerous to the demonic realm. Today, we start a two-part series on gaining control over our thoughts and words by studying Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. Before I read, if you'd like to support this podcast, please visit amenpodcast.com/donate. Let's read. Then a demon-oppressed man, who was blind and mute, was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. And no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will this kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come.
Amen. Our thought life is very important because that's where life begins. Thoughts are the inception of major decisions, major changes. The movie Inception, it's all about planting a very important thought in the mind of this certain person. The movie also tackles the relationship between Leonardo DiCaprio and his wife and how a certain thought that was planted in her head stuck and led to her death. So thoughts are very important. Once a thought gets stuck in your head, the chances of it going away or changes or changing is very, very slim. Old dog, new tricks. Even just Simba, you know, when Scar tells him, "You killed your dad," that thought made him run away from his kingdom. For years and years and years, this thought ruled his life. And you can look at so many different movies, how thoughts that we hear as children, thoughts that take root in our mind when we're young, how they grow into something uncontrollable and how they dictate the way that we live and can often, and almost every time, lead to slavery. In fact, yeah, I would say every time thoughts lead to slavery, whether that slavery is to good or slavery to something bad. Mm. It's not wrong to be a slave to something good. You know, there's times in the Old Testament where slaves wouldn't want to leave their slave masters because how good their life was. They were willing to just show in many different ways how devoted they are to stay with their slave master. God is a good slave master. Mm. And being a slave to him is good, but being a slave to bad thoughts is a horrible way to live. So there's three things we're going to talk about. The need to gain control over our thoughts, especially intrusive thoughts, the problem with thoughts, and the solution to intrusive thoughts. So the need is freedom. The problem we're going to talk about is Frankenstein thoughts, and the solution is freezing those thoughts. So the need, freedom. If you look at the first couple verses, verses 22 through 24, it says a demon oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. This demon possessed person, the windows of his soul are closed up. The windows of his eyes, the windows of his mouth. He can't see God. He can't speak to God. He's completely frozen up. He has no freedom. That's exactly what the devil wants his victims to be like. Sin, death, and the devil all want you to not have freedom. Sin, death, and the devil all want you alone in your mind with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Intrusive thoughts blind and mute us. When you have these busy thoughts, intrusive means busy. When you have these busy thoughts in your mind, what happens? It blinds you from seeing the truth. It mutes you from speaking the truth. Just like this demon-possessed man. This is what the devil wants for your life. The devil has a horrible plan for your life. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Mm-hmm. And intrusive thoughts are a form of demonic oppression. That's what this guy is going through. He's stuck in his head with his thoughts. He can't see to get clarity. He can't speak to explain himself. What a horrible situation. The devil wants us like this, isolated from God, because then sin is easier to fall into. You know, and the reason why we need freedom is because the right thought leads to freedom. As soon as, I know I talk about Lion King a lot. We should just change the name of this episode, change the name of this podcast to Lion King Podcast. I talk about it so much, I feel like. But as soon as Simba realizes that his dad is proud of him and that he didn't kill him, he becomes king again. The right thought leads to freedom. The right thought about God is the first step in moving closer to God. Job's friends in the book of Job were pushing Job further and further away from God by putting wrong thoughts in Job's head. Mm-hmm. But what did God do? He came along at the end of the book and put the right thought back into Job's head, which drew him closer to God. We communicate to God through thoughts. That's what prayer is. Whether you're praying in your head or you're praying out loud, they start as thoughts. If God can control your thought life, you will be a free person. And so in verse 23, all the people are amazed that Jesus gives this demon-possessed man freedom. And they say, can this be the Son of David? They saw God do something and they thought, can this be the Son of David? They asked this question because the Son of David was the name of the Messiah. They knew that the one that was going to come and liberate Israel, change the world, free people from oppression, was going to be a son of David, a descendant of David, because that was the prophecy. Mm-hmm. But Jesus was so gentle, like we talked about in the last couple episodes, so kind, so patient. He didn't look like the warrior that David was. He looked more like the kid David that defeated Goliath, because that was a picture of him. No one expected him to beat Goliath. No one expected Jesus to be a conquering warrior because of how gentle and calm and slow moving he was. Yet, he's casting out demons. David is the only person in the Old Testament that's ever casted out a demon. So they're asking, is this the Son of David? He's a lot more calm. He's a lot more peaceful than we thought a conquering king would be. But he is casting out demons. Only David did that. Is this the Son of David? Do you see what the right thought can do? It can draw you closer to God and make you ask the right questions. Verse 24, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, it is only of Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. So sorcerers and wicked, evil people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament around that time, they would use all kinds of spells and incantations to try to cast out demons. Not saying that they didn't work, but to see someone like Jesus, who is clearly on the side of good, who is clearly exhibiting miracles day after day, exhibiting great knowledge of the Torah, the Old Testament prophets and writings, to say that he's working with Satan is an evil thought nonetheless. And what Jesus says next in verse 25 is what made me name this episode thoughts. Because in verse 25, he says, knowing their thoughts, knowing their thoughts. Now, he knows the thoughts of the people. He knows the thoughts of these enemies of his. His enemies are jealous of him. His enemies are tired of him raining on his parade. His enemies are tired of him getting all the attention. And Jesus isn't here to get attention. They're thinking wrongly about him. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is not living the way that their religious rules that they made up are telling people to live. And this is making them mad. And they're getting envious. And they are a picture of Cain. You know, God is pleased with Abel, Cain's little brother. Cain hates that. He wants to be good with God on his own terms, not on God's terms. Mm-hmm. He wants to earn his salvation. He wants to earn God's favor. Abel has God's favor by being obedient to God, by loving God. And so what does Cain do? Cain kills Abel. That's a picture of exactly, those are the second pair of humans on earth, the first two children on earth. And that's a picture of what was going to happen to Jesus. Jesus's own Jewish brothers, the Pharisees, the religious crowd, were going to kill him because they wanted to be good with God on their own terms. And so they have this thought, and this thought is the most dangerous thought you can have about Jesus. It's the most dangerous thought you can have. And we got to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to move in this direction. Mm-hmm. They claimed that Jesus was working by the power of Satan. And we're going to find out that's the unforgivable sin. We're going to break down what this means. You might be afraid that you've committed this, but the chances are, if you're listening to this podcast and if you are afraid that you've committed that sin, you haven't committed the unforgivable sin. The problem is Frankenstein thoughts. Frankenstein is a doctor in Mary Shelley's book, Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And he brings to life this monster. It was dead. He brought it to life. Then the monster becomes uncontrollable and is a danger to people. This is exactly what intrusive thoughts are. They cloud our spiritual judgment. Jesus is the great thought reader. So in verse 25, he's knowing their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. What Jesus is saying here is, your thoughts are ridiculous. This is the problem with our thoughts. They're ridiculous. And by being ridiculous, they're uncontrollable like Frankenstein's monster. We bring them to life, and then we don't have any control over them. These are supposed to be sensible religious leaders, yet they're saying stuff like Jesus is working with Satan. Jesus says this. He says, if I'm working with him, how come I'm working against him? I'm casting out the demons that he's putting into people. Don't you see how that's ridiculous? It don't make sense. If this was a city and the city was divided like that, the city would break down. He says, and by the way, your sons, like your disciples, the people that you're teaching, aren't they casting out demons too? So by what power are they doing that? So he says, they're going to judge you by the fact that they're doing it. And if you're calling me satanic, then they must be satanic too, right? The kids and the students that you have, he catches them in their lie. And then 28, he says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. They knew that if someone came with power over the demonic, that meant a new world order had started. The kingdom of God had come down. That's exactly what they don't want. Yeah. They don't want Jesus to have authority.
Yeah.
That's why these thoughts they have towards him are evil. Because if Jesus has authority, then who doesn't have authority? Them.
Mm-hmm.
This is why people hate Christianity. This is why people hate Jesus. This is why people make the memes about him. This is why people make jokes about Jesus. This is why people use Jesus's name in vain. Why? They're trying to strip Jesus of his authority. These religious people, if they say that Jesus has the authority of Satan, then he doesn't have the authority of God, which means they have the authority of God because they're the good guys. This is an evil way to think, guys. Very, very evil. Jesus goes on to say, verse 29, or how can someone enter the strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder the house. This is what Jesus is doing. He's going into the house, the home, the heart of this demon-possessed man, and he's binding up that demon, binding up Satan, and getting him out of there, taking his goods. The goods are the value and the worth of human life. And only someone stronger than the man in the house could do that. Jesus is clearly showing that he has authority. Now, just to pastor a little bit right here, this train of thought that these religious people are following, it first started way back when Jesus got baptized, way, way, way back when when they were in the synagogue and they could hear people saying, hey, where are you going? We're going to Peter's house to see Jesus. Mm. When they first heard that, they were like, who's this Jesus guy? Why is everyone running out of church to go see Jesus? And we have to be careful because they're when it comes to like gossip and criticism and stuff like this, because we Christians can become very critical of other Christians.
Right.
And sometimes rightly so. There's a lot of nonsense happening in the church. But what we need to do, instead of talking about it with everyone, we need to talk to God about it. And we need to let him deal with it. Everyone's making videos right now about pastors who have committed moral failure. Everyone's talking about it at church. Be careful.
Yeah.
Because even if you are right in saying that this pastor is in cahoots with Satan, even if you are 100% on the nose right, that in a weird way is the danger of it. Because we love to be right. So maybe you're right about this person, and then you're 95% right about another pastor.
Yeah.
And then you're 50% right about another pastor. And then here comes a pastor that is saying stuff that you just don't like, that's convicting to you and offending to you, and you're 0% right. And so you say, oh, that person's in the Illuminati. I've heard people say this about Lecrae. Does Lecrae make songs that every song, do I like every song Lecrae makes? No. Do you like every song that any artist makes? No. People say Lecrae's in the Illuminati. Be careful. Because what if he's not? What if you're wrong?
Yeah.
What you just said is this Christian gets his power from Satan. That's dangerous. That's what they said about Jesus.
Yeah.
What a person who says that, their heart is so hardened, they are past the moment of repentance. Intrusive thoughts take on a life of their own. Intrusive thoughts are like Frankenstein. So it may start with something small, but it can grow into something greater and draw you very far from God. So you see the situation that they're in. You see how ridiculous their thought process is, and Jesus calls that out. Verse 30, this is the solution. Freezing. We have to freeze these thoughts. Intrusive thoughts must be frozen and frostbitten and left to die. Verse 30, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. This is what intrusive thoughts do. They scatter. Reclusive thoughts gather. Jesus takes our intrusive thoughts and makes them reclusive. Intrusive means busy. When a person is busy, they're scattered. Remember Martha? In the kitchen, scattered, busy. Worrying about things that don't matter. Mary is reclusive. at the feet of Jesus, quiet and simple and focused and directed. Jesus takes our intrusive thoughts and makes them reclusive by freezing them. The Word of God freezes Frankenstein intrusive thoughts in their tracks. A great picture of this is Professor X in X-Men. He has telepathy. He can freeze people in their tracks and stop them. He can also freeze time. He can also travel through time in his mind and read the minds of other people and find their location, no matter where they are, especially when he's using this program and this machine called Cerebrum. Now, there's a certain time where he's trying to help an X-Men. And what he does is he goes into the mind of this X-Men and he starts to be tormented by this other person's thoughts, this other X-Men's thoughts, to the point where it nearly kills him. This is what Jesus does, except it kills him. He goes into our intrusive thoughts to pull us out of it, to save us. To do that, he himself was frozen in the wrath of God and tormented. In verse 31, it says, "Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." This is called the unforgivable sin. And many people are afraid of this. Like, maybe I've committed this. Again, if you're afraid of committing it, you probably have not committed it. What this means is you can say horrible things about Jesus and be forgiven. A lot of us before Christ, we have used Jesus' name in vain. We've made jokes. We laughed at jokes about Jesus. Maybe even as a Christian, you've done that. You can be forgiven of that. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit, what it means is to say you don't need God. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it means. I don't need God. In your heart, to make the decision, I don't need God and I will not go to him for help. The Holy Spirit is how you get regenerated. The Holy Spirit is the power by which God raises you from dead to alive. So, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, what it means is, it means to simply just not believe. If you don't believe, how can you be forgiven?
Right.
It is by faith that we are saved. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have faith, you can't be forgiven. If you reject the power by which you can be saved, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So what these, and there's no way around that. What they're saying is they've made up in their mind, this person that you guys call Savior, he's working with Satan. He only helps by the power of Satan. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It's saying, I will not believe in this person. I will not put my trust in Jesus. I hate him and I don't want anything to do with him. There's no coming back from that. This is how far your thoughts can take you. This is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the worst thought that can be thunk. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, Jesus, when Peter tells Jesus that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He says it's at Caesarea Philippi. At Caesarea Philippi, they would have orgies out in the open in worship to the Greek god Pan. Pan was half goat, half man. And talk about wicked. Talk about evil thoughts. For you to do that in broad daylight. Jesus says, standing there in Caesarea Philippi, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Mm-hmm. Peter's name means pebble. He wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about the rock that he was standing on and the rock of that statement. The rock of Caesarea Philippi, where they desecrated themselves. And he was saying, no matter how evil the thought, even as evil as this place, what they do here, hell will not prevail against it. Stuff as evil as that will not be able to stop God from coming in and saving people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of us have said that we've, you know, in one way or another, before we met God, before we met Jesus, we've said we've hated God in some way. Mm-hmm. This is why predestination, this is why election, this is why the sovereignty of God. Because God can come and save you despite you.
Yeah.
Despite your hatred of him.
Yes.
Despite your unbelief. Despite your lack of faith. It's not complete. It's, yeah, you have free will, but you're not in control. God is.
Yep.
To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to simply just not believe. Mm-hmm. And these guys are saying, I will not believe in this person. Mm-hmm. I will not trust in him. Now, Jesus is the great thought reader, and what he's doing is in order to free us, he freezes our thoughts. Every time you bring the word of God in, every time you think about the word of God, what you're doing is you're freezing your intrusive thoughts in space and time, and you're killing them. This is why you have to memorize scripture. This is why, and you memorize scripture just by reading it. I don't think you need to take like a course, and I don't think you need to make note cards, unless you're just this kind of person. You want to make note cards and like do flashcards and like, you know, go back to school and just memorize that way. I think the best way to do it is just read scripture and let it take its place naturally. It's not really important that you memorize like the address. The address is like Philippians 4:8. That's not really important. If you want to do that, it's fine. What's important is, because by the way, man put those in there, those addresses. What's important is you remember the words of God and how God speaks, how God thinks. What are his ways? His ways are revealed in his words. His thoughts are revealed in his words. You want to get those thoughts in your head to take out your thoughts, to freeze your thoughts. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Who is more true, more honest, more pure, more just, more lovely, more good, and more virtuous and praiseworthy than Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Think about him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Jesus. The word of God crushes our thoughts so our thoughts can be quieted. Jesus on the cross, he was crushed by our thoughts. It was our sin. It was our evil way of thinking that he was crushed for.
Mm-hmm.
So we could be quieted by his thoughts.
Mm.
Jesus was crushed by our thoughts so we could be quieted by his. What Jesus does is he takes intrusive thoughts, freezes them, and makes our thoughts reclusive, placid, calm, quiet. And after trusting in God, despite him spinning on the cross with our busy thoughts, Jesus rose with a quiet mind. He was always reclusive in mind. He was always at peace with God. When we see him on the cross, we see him crying out in loud voices, my God, why have you forsaken me? Before the cross, we see him bleeding or sweating blood. Why? He was being crushed by our thoughts. And despite those busy thoughts spiraling in his head, he still trusted God throughout all that. And so what? God rose him from the dead, and he rose with a quiet mind.
Mm-hmm.
That means we have the power to rise out of our intrusive thoughts into quiet, reclusive thoughts, because Jesus allows that power. Jesus paid for that power. Jesus made that power possible. Mm-hmm. And so he is the word of God. When we go to him, our thoughts will be quieted. They will quite literally freeze those thoughts so we can experience life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news. Thank you for what you have allowed, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for you are the only one that has authority over these intrusive thoughts. You're the only one that can make them go away. You're the only one that can freeze them and free us so we don't have to live like Frankenstein. And so we thank you that you love us this much.
Mm.
And in your name we pray, amen.
Amen. This is the part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help you apply this message to your life. Our question for you today is, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? I'll start as always, and then we'd love to hear your answers in the comments and in DMs. But what are your thoughts? What are my thoughts? I have lots of thoughts, as everyone does. But one thing that I was just like thinking about as Alex was preaching is how sometimes my thoughts can be like, how does the word of God apply to others instead of how does the word of God apply to me? And, you know, I can get stuck in those thought patterns. It's like you were talking about, like, as Christians, we can get so caught up on like calling everyone out and being so concerned with what other people are doing and taking it, you know, to mass media instead of just taking it to the Lord. And I just thought that was so good because I think that I become more enslaved to my thoughts when I'm like obsessing over like, how did this apply to other people or, you know, how people should be living up to the standard of God instead of how can I live that way? And so it just reminded me of the verse of taking every thought captive and how like our mind really is a battlefield. And as you were saying at the beginning, like thoughts lead to slavery, but in Christ, we have the power to captivate those thoughts, to capture those thoughts. Sorry, more like capture than captivate is a better word, but, yeah, to capture those thoughts so that we can be obedient to Christ and to embody those things that like Philippians was saying. It's only in Christ that we can do that. And so, yeah, this was just so encouraging and so helpful to remember just how important it is to not just let these thoughts like invade, because I think like when I think of intrusive thoughts, it's like they come in without invitation, right? But like we have the power to kick them out. Like we have the power to say, you're not invited here, you're not welcome to come into my mind, into my house, like you must leave. And we have that defense with the sword of the Spirit, like with our word, with the word of God. And we always have access to that, even if we're alone in the middle of the ocean without our phone or our Bibles, we can talk to the Lord about these things. And I just think that's just a great reminder and just so helpful in overcoming the battlefield of the mind, because it will be constant, you know, whether it's self-condemning thoughts, condemning thoughts about others, thoughts of worry, whatever it is, the word of God truly does address every single one of those concerns, you know, and in that there's life, there's freedom, there's forgiveness, not condemnation. And I think that's what keeps us from going to God is like, we are appalled by some of the things that we think. And we think, surely we cannot bring this to God. Like, he's going to cast me out. He's going to, you know, give me the silent treatment. He's going to like, give me the hand, you know, like, but no, he meets us with grace and mercy and freedom. And when we sit at his feet, we see the beauty of the gospel and what he's already done and what he's continuing to do in our lives through the Holy Spirit. So.
Yeah, I love that. Like when our thoughts captivate us, we can captivate them back and take them away because they are invasive.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, and But invasive, intrusive thoughts, like, we don't need to be hospitable towards them.
Right.
We can, you know, tell them that they're not welcome here. Mm-hmm. And we do that by being defensive towards them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like if a robber were to try to come into your house.
Yes.
Or if a prostitute were to try to come into your house, you know, these people aren't welcome.
Right.
You know, and so you can be defensive to them, and you don't have to be, you know, maybe with the prostitute, you could be gentle, but with the robber, you don't need to be gentle. You know, you need to be abrasive and defensive. And that's how we need to treat these thoughts. Like, I think sometimes we see these evil thoughts and we're like, oh, like a prostitute, you know, you're just misunderstood, and just come on in and have a cup of tea and we'll talk about your life decisions. We don't need to be like that with intrusive thoughts, because they're robbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the brown recluse, you know, is this quiet, gentle, leave me alone kind of spider, unless there's danger, and then it pulls out the poison.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the life of a Christian is very defensive. Mm-hmm. You know, in Ephesians 6, when Paul is giving us the armor of God, it's all defensive stuff except the sword.
Right.
Except the word of God. Because, you know, we need to pull that out if we need to fight. You know, and it's a defensive mood, but it's dangerous, the word of God, because the word of God stops everything. It freezes everything, you know, and this is like what we see when we start thinking about the word of God is the word of God is the answer to everything that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Humans are made in the image of God. And I'm going to talk about this more in my next video on my other podcast, Amen Alex. I'm going to talk about this more, the image of God and the identity in Christ. But because we're made in the image of God, we want to think. Think about it. God made everything through speaking it into existence. There was thought there. There was creativity. We're made in his image, so we love to think. We don't think of it this way often, but knowledge is actually something that is like a fleshly desire inside of us. She ate from the tree because it sounded like it would feel good to know what that tree would give her.
Yep.
It's a fleshly thing. Why do people keep going to college and get degree after degree to degree, 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 degree? They love learning. They love how learning makes them feel in their flesh powerful. It's a fleshly thing.
It's true.
Wanting to think, having thoughts, deep thoughts. And so that's why Christ is so satisfying. Because in this, the scripture will allow you to think thoughts you've never thought of before. And the scripture will satisfy whatever you're trying to find in a book, in a romantic novel, in school, whatever thought you're looking for to give you that pleasure, you will not find it there. You will find it in Christ.
Mm.
If you really want to laugh deeply, if you really want to cry deeply, read scripture.
Yeah.
There's stuff that is deeply hilarious because of how messed up we are.
Mm-hmm.
There's not anything that is hilarious about God. Everything in the Bible that's hilarious is hilarious because of how perfectly it pinpoints our condition.
Yeah.
And if you want to cry deeply at the beauty of God, read scripture. I mean, nothing will satisfy you like the thoughts that come from the Bible.
Mm, exactly.
And so that's why it supersedes everything. It freezes everything when you go. And the reason why intrusive thoughts is trending, you know, so crazy right now is because never before have humans had more thoughts. Never before have humans had more knowledge than today.
Yes.
Everyone has a working computer in their back pocket.
At all times.
Before, you'd have to go to the encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you'd have to go to the library. Before, you had to have a library card.
Yeah.
Before, you had to go ask the teacher. You'd have to learn how to read.
Mm-hmm.
One of our sons learned how to read just through captions. You see what I'm saying? There's so much knowledge out there. That's why our thoughts are so intrusive. Intrusive means busy. Mm-hmm. Our minds are so busy because how much access to knowledge we have. We've never had that before.
Yeah.
And so you could be laying in the middle of the night in your bed, and all of a sudden an evil thought pops up in your head and you're like, where did this come from? It didn't come from anywhere. It came from a video you watched, a book you read, an article you read, plus another video, plus another comment, plus another person's story, plus another Snapchat you opened, plus a tweet that you just read. It's all these things being culminated and pushed together, and your mind is trying to find a way to formulate it and to organize it in the middle of your sleep, and it comes out with these intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
You see why we need God to freeze those thoughts? Only the word of God can do it.
Right.
Because he himself was frozen. He himself was scattered so we could be gathered.
Yeah, I think that is too just like such a great reminder. It's like if we are not, the only way we're going to have the knowledge to even like have conviction with the thoughts that invade our mind is if we're consistently and constantly in the word. I think like just thinking of my own life, when I'm not in the word as much, these thoughts come in and I don't feel convicted by them as quickly, you know, but if I am really just soaking in his word, whether it's even, you know, just as a mom being busy, whether it's just listening to it out loud, whatever it is, setting my mind on things above, you know, even like worshiping, listening to worship music, just setting an environment where your mind is on Christ, then it's like, oh, like you're more disgusted by bad thoughts more quickly. And also what we consume, like what we consume is going to lead to thoughts. Yes, sometimes they come out of the blue, but a lot of times it comes from something you saw, something you heard that you really don't have any business, you know, knowing. It's not like those things are always sinful things that you're consuming, but sometimes it can lead to sin because you just don't need to know it. You don't need to be there, you know? And so just the importance of staying close to him and like, kind of like returning to the Sermon of the Mount, like remember who we are in Christ. Yeah. Remember like our posture towards the Lord. Cause like, last night we were watching a video and like this pastor just all of a sudden started walking through the crowd and like calling everyone out. And it wasn't in love. It was definitely a very like abusive power, abrasive type of thing. And I was just like thinking like that comes from him, like kind of what I was saying back in the beginning of my After the Man, spending more time looking at the word of God, like how does this apply to everyone else? Not how does this apply to me? And that can end up leading to a ton of damage. You know, like, yeah, those people might come back, but they're coming back because of fear now, not fear of the Lord, fear of man. And that's so, so dangerous. And so,
Yeah, it's good. So perversion is an invasion, and consumption can lead to oppression, as was what you're saying. Like, I just thought of that, like homosexuality, changing your gender, that's perversion. That's an invasion.
Yeah.
Those thoughts are intrusive. They've invaded your mind.
Yeah.
You've welcomed them because you didn't feel conviction. Because conviction comes by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so because there's no conviction, perversion, which is an invasion, finds a home. And so you just think my identity is homosexuality. My identity is in a different gender.
Right.
You've invited it in. Because there's no conviction there. And this could happen to non-believers.
Yeah.
This could happen to Christians. Because if you refuse to let the word of God convict you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you just keep pushing it off, your heart becomes so hardened that you allow the perversion to invade your heart. And this is why she's saying you got to be careful what you consume, because consumption can lead to oppression. Consumption can lead to addiction.
Yeah.
And so, we just have to be careful what we, but consumption of the word of God will lead you
always
to freedom.
Always to life and freedom.
Always, you know, and even that consumption of the word of God in the wrong heart can lead to
pride,
arrogance, you know, and the addiction of, you know,
power,
piety, just being looking better, looking more pious than other people. Mm-hmm. And so we got to be careful. Again, it all comes back to our thoughts. Don't you see how it starts with the thoughts? And only the word of God, only God is the ultimate thought reader. And he can expose our thoughts and free us, but he's always going to do that with grace and with mercy, like you're saying, unlike this pastor that we watched in this video. Mm-hmm. That was just, he was exposing people's thoughts, but he was doing it not in love. He was doing it abrasively and rude. Mm-hmm. God won't do that to us. And I think that is the thought that you're saying is most dangerous for the people in that congregation, is they could come back and think God is this way. This is what God thinks of me, or how God treats me.
And if I want his favor, I have to stay here, you know,
because the pastor is a picture of that, you know? So, we love you guys. Let us know. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm. And we, you can send those to us on Instagram, Amen Podcast, or email. And we'll try to read as many as we can. And thank you guys for being supportive. Mm-hmm. And we love you.
Yes. Until next time, go out and be the church.
Amen.